This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fake the Nation, episode 252.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we watch an entire political party begin to eat itself like a dog sniffing its own poop for the very first time. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and Ramadan comes to an end tonight. We're taping on Wednesday, which means Eid Mubarak. If you'll recall, my Ramadan goal was to be really gentle with my parents when they asked for tech help. And I was really put to the test this Ramadan because it corresponded with my mom getting a new cell phone. And folks, if you've ever experienced my mom getting a new cell phone, it's an entire family affair. Many, many people involved. And I'm treated like a Geek Squad member, a Genius Bar person, a Verizon representative. I fulfill many, many of those duties during these challenging times. So thank you for your thoughts and prayers. Today, we're going to talk about how Republicans hate themselves, about the New York City mayoral race, but more specifically, celebrities in politics. And we'll pick through a cultural grab bag of other stories that may or may not include butt implants. Today, oh my God, I love this panel so much. You've heard her on this show so many times. I have the distinct pleasure of being able to see her perform, even in this pandemic time, all around the city and all around the country. I've seen her just absolutely kill on stage. People love her. They especially love her as the host of the NPR show Ask Me Another. Folks, it's Ophira Eisenberg. Hey, Ophira.
Hello, Nagin. Thank you. Thank you. So nice to see you. I know. We saw each other once in real life at a club.
In real life, in a green room. It felt like absolutely normal, though we had our masks.
Yeah, nobody knew what to do. They were like, masks.
I know.
Do we approach each other? Do we not approach each other? Yeah.
I know. Is there a hug that's going to happen? I don't know. Okay, so the second person on this panel, I have also had the absolute pleasure of seeing perform very recently. Because here's the weird thing. Comedians have gotten back to real life, I think, weirdly faster than other forms of entertainment or something. He's an icon of comedy. You've seen him on 12 million things. You've seen him in his own special, Spicy Honey, on Netflix, or maybe his other special, The Crowdwork Tour, on Amazon Prime. It is the one, the only, Todd Barry. Hey, Todd.
Thank you.
So good to see you in your face digitally. And before we get into the show, I just want to remind people that I do, in fact, have a show on Tuesday, June 8th at Caveat in New York City. It is going to be an hour of me. It's, in fact, called Nagin Farsad Presents an Evening of Comedy from Her Mouth Hole. It is my first time since February of 2020 doing a whole hour all by myself, sees. And I would love for you to come. It's going to be a safe show. You've got to just show proof of vaccination through the Excelsior Pass, through your CDC card, or a negative test. I just did the Excelsior Pass. It's the easiest thing I've ever done. I didn't realize it was so easy. You just download it and then put in the date of your vaccination, and then that's literally it. Your name and date of vaccination, and the app finds your thing, you're in the system, and then it's just easy. It's so easy. So anyways, I would love it if you came out to the show. I know some of you already bought your tickets, and I'm so grateful, and we'll see if I still know how to do a full hour stand-up comedy by myself. It's unclear, but I hope that I do. I hope that I do. Let's get into it now with topic number one. So since the January 6th insurrection, Liz Cheney has been doing this weird thing where she accepts the results of the election and accepts that Biden is our rightful president. And for that, they almost kicked her out of her leadership position in February. She's like the number three Republican, though she survived that attempt. And then since then, she's been out here saying, look, guys, like, I'll deny health care to people. I'm all about that. And yes, I don't want any more coronavirus relief packages. Absolutely. But I think Trump incited violence. But also, let's totally keep emitting greenhouse gases. Like, folks, she's a full-on conservative. But none of the ideological positions mattered because she didn't accept Trump. So today, just as we record this, they voted her out of her leadership position. I mean, it doesn't mean she's out of Congress, it just means she's out of that leadership position. So, Ophira, what do you think of Liz Cheney being voted out of her leadership position and basically, you know, her besmirched status in the Republican Party?
I mean, the way you set it up is perfect for what I have to say, because in some ways, depending if you're on the other side of this looking in, you're like, well, let's agree that this was not an entire loss. Forever. I mean, it's just sort of like, so you ousted someone that did not stand for a lot of great things, only because at the, 11th hour, they were like, the Constitution. But this is not constitutional. It says so much about where the Republican Party how they want to fraction themselves, where they are going. They're just like, oh, well, that's the last draw right there. No one can say, if you say that the election wasn't rigged, you're out. That's the straw.
So basically, Ophira, the GOP has like created this line. Like, this is the line is not deficit spending or their position on states' rights.
No, women are still garbage.
Abortion. Right. Like, all of that stuff. It's literally just this one dude and the big lie.
Yeah. Did you kiss the ring? You're not going to kiss the ring? You're out. That's it.
And it's interesting because I guess I think one thing I'm not like crazy to think that like Liz Cheney is like suddenly my bud or anything, but I do, you know, last night she said it to an empty chamber, but for the camera, she said, remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar, which is like very true, you know? And I think that what I actually do appreciate about her, while recognizing that she's not my bud, is that she is just remaining, she's remaining ideologically consistent. Like, I'm a Republican who believes X, Y, and Z, who voted for Trump on conservative, you know, in a conservative direction every time. But when it goes outside the bounds of the Constitution, I'm like, no, thank you.
I think people can become enlightened at any point in their journey, Nagin. So, and on some level, this is maybe, you know, maybe for her, this is the line. Everyone has a line and this is her line. Or maybe upon reflection of all kinds of things, she was like, I have to say something. You know, maybe there were other pressures in her own personal life that contributed to her wanting to stand up and say something. Whatever it is, totally valid.
Yeah, maybe her dad was like, look, you can go to unwanted wars, you know? What I mean, you can start an unfounded war, that's fine, but come on,
but let's be honest.
Election results.
Right,
Todd, what did you think of this week's Republican?
Well, as a
mess?
Comic, I admire that she could play to an empty room without bringing it up every 30 seconds, because a comic would just be like, there's no one here, everyone, I just want to let you know no one's here about it. But I actually once bombed on a UK stand-up show, and I severely bombed, and I made the choice that I was going to play to the camera, and I just told the audience, I'm going to fake this and pretend that you're laughing. And that's the way to go.
That sounds like Zoom, by the way. That sounds like
that's
a standard Zoom
true.
Show.
Right. But
that's
Liz,
that's what politicians are doing with C-SPAN every day.
I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Liz Cheney, but it's amazing. Like, I just always wonder what Trump would have to do to lose everyone. Like, what he'd have to be caught on film doing something so egregious, although he has already, I guess.
No. Yeah. No.
The 10 examples he would of have that he's to... already done.
Oh, right. That he's done. Yeah.
I think he would have to become a Democrat.
Literal murder.
He would have to become a Democrat.
Oh, that's true.
The only way.
Well, speaking of Donnie, and here's, I should have had a trigger warning at the beginning of this segment to say, like, we may unfortunately, like, mention that fucking guy's name because it's bananas. Here, can I tell you the thing? I want to talk about the Facebook banning thing. But before I do that, I just want to say Florida also last week passed a round of really like fun voter suppression laws. And one of them is making it really hard to vote by mail. And here's the really hilarious thing about that. In 2016 and 2018, the people who were voting absentee were Republicans by a large margin. Democrats weren't really voting absentee. Voting absentee in Florida favored Republicans. The only time it did not absolutely favor Republicans was during a pandemic when everyone wanted to vote by mail because of dying reasons. But otherwise, Republicans love a nice absentee ballot. They're so into it. So here they are putting in more voter suppression tactics that'll actually shoot them in the foot because their own people love an absentee ballot. So it's just like, what is the strategy? Like, the strategy is to, like, you know, to make it possible for your own people to vote and then make it, and then tie your boat or whatever, is that the expression, to like an old dude who's not in office, who's just some guy living on a golf course, you know? And like, what is the strategy? I guess, Ophira, what's the strategy?
I don't know. I like that it's all, you know, just one step behind. That's what the strategy is. But you're right. It's just sort of like, let's ignore anything from just this last thing and we'll act on that. I mean, it feels very desperate, right? It's like, so what happened? You think it's because of the mail-in? Okay, we got to stop that. What else happened? Okay, you know, like next year it's going to be like, well, it was all the places that gave stickers. That's were the places that voted non-Republican. Well, next year we're getting rid of stickers. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I really, no, yeah. The voter suppression.
Democrats like drinking water. So no more water for them in lines.
But I do, I feel the most scared and the most passionate about these voter suppression things. They really scare me. They just seem, I mean, talk about unconstitutional and just so transparent. Like, you know, it's just so transparent. It's sort of like just looking at the numbers and being like, all right, how can we make sure the people who didn't vote for us can't vote? That's just like, it's so just clear that that's what it is. It's like, come on, like dress it up a little.
But it's also like, let's make sure that even our own people can't vote. It's just like, it's that step behind thing. It's so bizarre. So Todd, Facebook has their own little mm-hmm. Supreme Court. And their little Fuscotus said that... the banning of Trump should stand. Like, the banning of a Trump was appropriate. So they upheld that decision because he had clearly broken Facebook's rules about praising violence. But they also said that they need to have like a real that Facebook needs to have a real policy in place and more transparency, which they don't. And they were basically like, you know, take 6 months, figure out what the fuck you're doing, and then come up with like a real policy. What do you think of Donnie and Facebook and the Fuscotus decision?
I like Fuscotus, by the way. I don't know if you came up with that, but that's excellent.
Thank you very much. yes, I did right here, right now.
If he's doing truly dangerous, objectively dangerous things, then it's fine to ban him. But I kind of like people I don't like to be able to talk. Does that make sense?
and expose themselves?
Yeah, I mean,
and, like,
I just
give
feel
them
like,
a forum
like, even
to...
like when I hear about like Ann Coulter going to a place and people on a college boo her, like, I'd rather hear her speak than hear them booed. But even if I totally get why they're being booed, like if I'm showing up to the auditorium, I kind of want to hear what's said. I feel like
Todd is like, give assholes a platform.
I'm a First Amendment absolutist. Well, I'd shut down the conversation. But I think that they're not going to let him get away with saying things that are truly dangerous, it seems, based on this decision. But
The one of the people who was on the board is the former Danish prime minister. I don't need to say his name. You guys already know who it is. Helle Thorning-Schmidt.
Oh, one of my faves.
You said that.
Yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, he's
I'm
the best.
I don't know how it's.
It's Helle.
But he said that, like, the company, you know, the fact that the company failed to have a specific penalty for what he did in the first place was, quote, a bit lazy, which I thought was really hilarious for, like, a former prime minister to say. But the board said that the company should generally, you know, this is what I is sort of, I feel like, was a little bit of a no duh, should apply its rules equally, no matter if it's a president or an average citizen, which, like, I'm into that equality. They also acknowledge that celebrities and politicians can do outsized harm. So they should actually not only apply their rules equally, but, like, maybe quicker.
I agree with that, because, like,
a celebrity or a politician.
My friend Dave Hill, I don't know if you know him, got banned from Twitter for making your mama jokes, your mother jokes to Republicans, and they permanently banned him for that. Like, just silly fifth grade.
What?
I don't know if he
minds
me revealing this, but he did have a YouTube video where he's trying to get back on, but so I don't think it's a secret.
Wow.
Like, and he hasn't been unbanned.
No, no.
He remains banned.
I mean, I know other people. Brendan Walsh got banned because he pretended to be Donald Trump Jr. for a little bit, just in his screen name. But so they're very severe about certain people, but like the president saying actually dangerous things.
Comedians.
Like, hey, we have to let this be out there.
Yeah, because not to throw this extreme information by you, but, you know, a month ago I became an American citizen. And as I was studying for my civics exam, there is this question. What is the rule of law? And you know what the rule of law is? Everyone is subject to the law. Nobody is above the law. Politicians aren't above the law. Celebrities are not above the law. Lawmakers are not above the law. Everyone is subjected to the same laws. And I feel like this applies. It's like, no, same for everyone.
Same for everyone. By the way, Ophira, when you asked that question, I started sweating like I was being quizzed. And I was like, I don't actually know that. I don't know. Oh, my God.
Well, that's what I'm telling you right now. That's the rule of law.
Because it's like a trick question.
They're all trick questions. You know? They're all trick questions.
But it is. But it's like the
I
most obvious.
I've been talking to you all these years not knowing you're not an American citizen.
That's true.
You're from Canada?
It's true. It just happened. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Yeah.
Todd, they walk amongst us.
That's right. We walk amongst you undetected.
Sometimes you never know. all right. Well, folks, let me know what you think about the Fiscotus decision. Now I'm just going to keep saying it because Todd said he liked it once. Also let me know about what is the strategy. Am I missing the strategy? I want to understand the strategy. And I know out there are some people that have actually written me who were once conservative and are now like moderate or liberal, and they listen to the show. Maybe you have some insight. I mean, I don't think like Kevin McCarthy listens to this show.
Not
but
yet.
If you do,
this is the episode.
He listens to the Life Hacker
Minority
that.
Leader.
I mean, you know, to be fair, I don't know if anyone has sent a letter recently, but it doesn't feel like it will get there 100%. So I do see it from that angle.
Well, folks, let me know what you think. Write a handwritten letter to me. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about celebrities and mayoral races.
Oh, finally.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back and we're ready for topic number two. Okay, so let's talk about the New York mayoral election for a minute, but then we'll broaden the conversation. But before even all of that, I just want to explain that this is going to be a ranked choice voting election. Now, Todd and Ophira, do you want me to explain what ranked choice voting is?
Yes.
I know what it is.
Do you want to explain it, Todd?
Yeah.
Let's
see it.
Maybe
let's
we should
it.
Have... Okay. you can, instead of... It helps you if you really... If you're hesitant to vote for someone because you think they're not going to win, they could still vote for them as your number one choice and know that your second choice will be honored. Something like that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, it's not the
it's not
full
good.
Picture, but...
It's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's not
Let's
as good.
Let's have new American Ophira
I don't know.
Explain it.
This will be, honestly, the very first election I will vote in America.
Oh, this is, I'm so excited for you. This is going to be the best. It's so fucking fun. Here's the deal. What happens in a ranked choice voting, and by the way, this is happening in a lot of primaries around the country, so, like, listen up, all of y'all. Voters rank their candidates in order of preference. Like, so like Todd was saying, you might have a first choice. Let's say she's Elizabeth Warren or something, and you're like, if Elizabeth doesn't win, then, number two is Bernie or whoever, right? So you rank them that way. By the way, if there are candidates on the ballot that you do not like, you do not have to rank them. So if there are like seven candidates and you only want to rank four, that's totally fine. And then out of everyone, their number one choices get voted on. And then the election people count those votes. And if one of those candidates gets more than 50%, that's going to be our primary winner. But if they don't get 50%, which is more than likely, they will not get 50%. It goes to the second round of choices. And then you in that first round, they eliminate the worst performing candidate. And then it's a smaller pool. And then they dole out the votes of everyone's second ranked choice. Right. And they go on and on like that until that one candidate actually has 50% of the vote. OK, at least 50% of the vote. By the way, And here's the thing, like you were saying, Todd, if you feel like you like someone, but they might not make it or whatever, like in 2020, more than 4.5 million ballots in the Democratic primary and the presidential primary were for withdrawn candidates. This would not happen here because candidates don't have to withdraw. They're all just like running on this process. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about the mayoral, right? So it's really exciting. You should be excited. This is the best way.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm so into it.
Okay, so you never have to worry about I'm just throwing my vote away because...
Exactly.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Exactly. Because how many times in your life have you loved someone and then you're like, but I know they're not going
to get
it.
Right, so what's the point?
So I should vote for this. So you're like gaming your own vote and figuring out whatever. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? That happened to so many people in 2020 and we don't need to live like that.
No.
Do you think you'll be able to come up with five, though? I think I'm going to be using maybe two.
Well, I think, wait, are you willing to disclose here on Fake the Nation who those people are? You don't have to.
You know what I do? This is the way I vote. If you haven't caught on yet, I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. So I kind of
I've always
find,
said
like,
that about you.
Everyone's got the person they know is like really into politics. I just kind of go, make me a little cheat sheet.
Right. Give me a table. Give me a table.
But I heard Morales. I forgot her first name.
Diane.
Is good.
Diane Morales.
Diane Morales. So I think she's my number one choice, even though I honestly don't know one thing about her, except I know this dude said she's really good.
She's an anti-poverty organizer and a nonprofit executive.
Yeah, she does sound good. Yeah, okay. I knew something, I guess.
Well, I'll just let Andrew Yang, Scott Stringer, Eric Adams, Maya Wiley, Diane Morales, Sean Donovan, Catherine Garcia. I'm missing that one. The one who's named Ray something. But he's, again, I don't think he's going to make it very far. It doesn't matter. Point is, email me if you want to know. I don't know. Here's the deal. By the way, Scott Stringer has a sexual assault allegation. So he was sort of like in the top three of polling, but that might be over for him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that put him right up to the top.
Right. Here's the one. Oh, sorry. Ray Maguire. Thank you, Julia. Ray Maguire. So here's, by the way, Catherine Garcia may be in my top four. She's a former sanitation commissioner who did like a ton of shit as sanitation commissioner. And then coincidentally, just won the endorsement of the New York Times. And she just has a lot of experience managing shit. Like a ton.
What's her name?
Catherine Garcia.
I mean, that's got to be a tough job.
I mean,
welcome to my top five, Catherine Garcia.
but email me if you want to know who I'm ranking or thinking about ranking or whatever. I know most of our listeners are not in New York City, so I won't spend too much time talking about it. But I do want to ask you guys about the candidacy of Andrew Yang. that has made national and international news because Andrew Yang ran for president, and he became popular because he was always talking about universal basic income, giving $1,000 to everyone. And it's funny because I think a lot of people started thinking that he came up with that idea, but just to be clear, he did not. Many, many, many political scientists before him came up with that idea. But he did sort of popularize it on the national scale. What do you think of a guy like that who doesn't have a tremendous amount of, let's just say, experience in running organization as large as New York City, and who also, I'll just go ahead and note, left New York City during the pandemic. What do you think of someone like that sort of sweeping in with their celebrity and running?
When I heard that he was running, I know everyone said this, but I had no idea he was from New York City.
Exactly the same. I was like, what? Like, and I honestly was like, wow, this guy wants power. He'll do anything.
It came off as like a little like gross to you.
Well, I was like, oh, he's just entering contests wherever he can.
he's doing a wet t-shirt contest. Yeah. He's doing a mayoral contest.
The photo ops he does are very like, they're just too in your face. Like, look, I'm on the A train. Ooh, the A train. This guy's the real deal.
Just like you.
He's like just walking around with a camera crew. Like, here, I'll sit on this bench kind of near this homeless guy. There you go. Got it?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so you guys also know that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is flirting with a presidential bid, and that Matthew McConaughey is theoretically flirting with a gubernatorial bid in Texas, and that a recent poll showed that Matthew McConaughey could actually win a gubernatorial race in Texas. By the way, what is McConaughey? Is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? Is he a Green Party candidate? What is he? What does he think? But besides True Detective, what are his experiences like that are relevant to government?
Well, he did a Doritos ad, so I think.
Yeah, I know. He has money to campaign.
And he has, by the way, folks, I just want to point out, just it not for nothing, a chiseled jawline.
Oh, he's
so that which feels gubernatorial to me, just on its
own.
You
know, may I say, a couple years ago, we went with Ask Me Another to Texas, and we did a roadshow there, and he was our guest, and I was live on stage with him, staring into his eyes, and it was I got lost
and
a couple times. I'm just going to say I got lost.
I saw him once at the British Airways lounge at Heathrow, but I left him over.
You didn't come up to him and go, I'm popular comedian.
He's sitting there, like, he's sitting on the couch with these big sunglasses, like, all right, that's interesting.
Wait, so Todd, was he poring over spreadsheets with like city and state budget lines on them?
I did. I mean, I think it was either that or Variety who was reading.
Similar.
But, I just don't want.
I mean, he'd be a good speaker. I don't know if he'd actually be a good.
Yeah, and I think he knows, in some ways, whatever. I don't know Matthew McConaughey, but when just from talking to from 20 minutes in person, this is all I have to say about like how I know this person. He knows who he is. He knew how to play to that crowd. I'll tell you that much. Exactly, he nailed it. So there is something there, but I am so sick of the idea of, I assume with a lot of these actors that becoming a successful actor was their plan A. Okay?
Right.
And so I hate the idea of like civil service and running for government and leading a nation is like, I fell back on that. Like, I don't want.
I'll become governor as a goof.
Yeah, right, exactly. It was either that or, yoga teacher.
It feels like this like bored thing, right? Yeah, like that it's like, oh, I should have another chapter. Like, what could I do that could like really get my parents to notice me? You know what I mean? Because the Oscar nomination didn't do it.
Right. It's like, okay, I had people adore me on this level. How about as me?
Right.
Do you think it's like when Stormy Daniels became a comedian? Like, it's like, come
no,
on.
No, we all know, Todd. Anyone could do comedy. We all know that. If anything. anything is being proved to us over and over. It is half the world's New Year's resolution.
Howard Stern came out this week and said about Johnson and McConaughey that, you know, that they're what they're fooling themselves, because the moment that you come out as a like human being with your own ideas, like, and you have to take a position on like abortion, right, and like the Clean Water Act and like all of that stuff, right? That you suddenly realize, oh, you know, like he was saying, Stern said, oops, suddenly people don't like The Rock. Like once The Rock takes a position, suddenly one of the most beloved actors, which I think is why Tom Hanks very wisely stays out of this. I mean, he's like, no, I'm the most beloved man on earth. Like, I'm going to keep that status. I'm going to keep it by never doing that shit. Like, how else? I mean, it's a lose-lose situation.
I mean, does McConaughey really want people to show up at, you know, on the campaign trail with him and just be yelling out from the crowd like, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. Because that's what's going to happen. You know, it's like there's a lot of blurred lines between these things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, here's something that the New York Times said, and I wonder what you think of it. They said in that endorsement of again, I don't mean to like overly mention Catherine Garcia here as a mayoral candidate, but why not just mention her name one more time? Catherine Garcia, who won the New York Times endorsement. In that endorsement, they wrote, Mr. Yang offers the sharpest focus in the race on the important role the mayor will play in luring people back to the city as the pandemic ends. Other candidates have focused on those who never left. Today's New York, however, requires leadership that will prioritize both. So they were pointing out one positive thing about Yang. It basically, Todd, it's like those subway photos you're talking about, right? Like, I'm Andrew Yang. I'm super positive and I'm on the A train. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is there something about celebrity that could help in a post-pandemic scenario?
I mean, if just people's fawning nature over celebrity. I don't even consider him a celebrity, though. I mean, I guess he is, but I don't even know what he does. What does he do for a living?
Like, what did he do before?
I know he doesn't wear a tie.
He runs for stuff.
Yeah, he runs
he's
for
basically,
stuff.
Basically, okay. He's a candidate.
He's like a reality television show guy.
I don't consider
guy.
Him like a McConaughey. So.
No, he's not. He's definitely a weird one.
I mean, he is
one.
A celebrity, but...
But he has a little bit of, like, I think in all of these cases, a little bit of a carpetbaggery type situation where it's like... You weren't really in the mix, and now you're suddenly in the mix, and you don't necessarily have... The thing about being New York City mayor, and I don't know what, you know, if this was like this in Canada, Ophira, like, did you guys know the name of the New York City mayor? Because growing up
No.
in California, I knew the name of the New York City mayor. I remember as like a six-year-old or something seeing, you know, Ed Koch or whoever it was on TV and being like, oh, the New York City mayor. Like, it's like kind of the third most popular, you know, position in America. Is that a crazy statement?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I knew it... you know, I certainly knew some of them. I certainly knew some of the mayors because of events that happened in New York that made world news. And so you would right. definitely see that person speak about them. And so you became very familiar with some of their names. And of course, like Giuliani back in his day certainly made an impact on Canadian news. Like there was many...
right.
Along Koch made his own. I remember that name for very different specific reasons, but it actually didn't even all come together in my mind until I moved here. And then I was like, oh, because sometimes, and this could
mayors.
Just be me,
yeah.
it's like New York news and American news, the way it's just it comes out on another country's news is put together very quickly. And so.
Right.
I do think people view New York differently, because like even if you go overseas and you say you're from America, people might be like, ugh.
Oh, totally.
But if you say you're from New York, they're like,
totally.
Ooh, sexy
yeah, yeah.
city.
They're like, oh, I love shopping there.
There's an allure to New York City. I think you get a pass.
Right.
I mean, it is also a massive city that is.
Yeah.
I think.
It is diverse. So they're like, oh, you're not terrible.
Ooh, Felicity.
Do they say that when you're
from? I miss what you just.
I said, ooh, Felicity, which is like the less cited. But okay, so I think where we're all landing is don't vote for celebrities. Is that where we're sort of just landing?
I'll vote for anyone who gets rid of the honking and fixes the intersections so you can cross the street.
There it is.
So I would vote for
Catherine Garcia.
Perry. I would vote for Katy Perry as the mayor. If she was interested.
I mean, I feel the same ways about the subway system and, fixing between the construction and the corruption and the fares. If someone really led with some transportation stuff, I would be like, all right, you got me. I'm going to listen some more.
Again, just glance at Catherine Garcia. All right, let us move on.
I'm not saying I'm endorsing.
I'm not saying. Listeners might know this, but I have formally endorsed Justin Krebs for City Council in Brooklyn's 39th District. So if you're in that district, which is like Park Slope and Gowanus and Carroll Gardens. Anyways, if you're in that district, look up Justin Krebs. He's fantastic. All right, let us move on to topic number three. Topic number three is just a grab bag of some cultural stuff. And I'm just going to, I'm going to throw this out and see what you guys think. Twitter is going to let you tip people for tips. They're going to add a tip jar feature. Right now, it's kind of in the testing mode. What do you think? Are you going to be tipping? I almost said twipping any teeters. Are you going to be tipping any tweeters?
This is my worst fear, by the way. This is my worst fear.
Todd, are you doing it?
I've thought about whether I would have the tip jar. I mean, now if it's too easy to get a tip jar, I might just go, here's a tip jar. But I do feel a little, if I could make it funny enough where it wasn't like, hey, I really would love it if you sent me $2.
I know. Wait, so Ophir, why is this your worst nightmare?
Because I always, it's when you throw the money thing into it. Like Twitter already has a lot of problems, right?
Right.
For people. People feel just with trolls and anger and, potentially misinformation and
incitement of violence.
All kinds of things. And also popularity, say that we've all thrown around the thing like, well, that person's Twitter famous, for example. That's something you say. Right. You go, they're Twitter famous. Oh, are they good on stage? Are they good in this? No, they're Twitter famous. Or maybe that's a nice thing to say.
Right, they have a feed.
Depending. But then when you add the thing that you could get rich, the American dream. You could get rich by being through Twitter. I feel like that is, evil. With great responsibility comes evil, because I feel like it's not going to end up being rewarding to, someone saying funny things or someone saying, or even like needing money. It is going to reward the hate. And the people that are the most
provocative. Or the stuff that's so jokey or like sort of so nothing-y.
That would be fine.
Maybe it's not even hateful. It'll just be like,
hey guys, I'm right here. Come on.
Right. If you're telling me like someone who is like, oh, in my Twitter feed, I just post different versions of duh every day. And that's how stupid it is. And people are giving me $5 every day or whatever.
I honestly don't think there's going to be a lot of tipping going on. Because I feel like people are on Twitter, love free shit. They steal movies. They steal their music. They have Spotify. I don't think they'd be like, hey, that was a great tweet. Here's $10.
Well, but again,
they haven't paid for a movie. They've BitTorrented everything.
I do think like if it was like, hey, that's a great tweet. What a interesting observation. Wow, I can't be there at your show, but I'm so interested in your project. Here's somebody. All of this stuff feels fine. I just don't think that is what Twitter is at all.
It's weird. I think that's like what's weird. So I'm on Patreon, right? Which is already this thing where you're supposed to sort of like, where you have patrons and you give them additional output every month of either your podcast or your jokes, your videos or whatever it is, right? And by the way, I'm really grateful to the people who have joined my Patreon. Thanks, guys. But I think what's kind of happening now is that there's like so many different ways of like, it's almost like how there's too many streaming services and like you're overloaded. I don't know. And there's so many, I almost wish there was a thing where you could be like, I'm gonna spend $40 a month on supporting people I love, and then it'll just be like by percentages. So it's like you add everyone's name to a thing, and then it gets divided automatically by, I don't know. I'm just saying it, like, I just am like, there's so many things, and now Twitter is adding like a thing.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, I just, there is a weird thing too where I just go, and I know Twitter is basically international, although, you know, the Twitter I'm on is primarily in the English language, and I feel like I'm following and talking to people that are mostly, honestly, in North America, some people that are in other parts of the world. But I just feel like this is another thing of like, nobody's going to help you. You're never going to get healthcare. There is no support system. So you better start trading money amongst each other.
It's like reinforcing the gig economy as opposed to like creating any kind of social safety net that would be more meaningful for people's lives.
And I've said it before.
I wonder if it's going to be like Uber, when Uber added tipping. Because it used to be like, the great thing about Uber, you just get out of that car.
Did they remove tipping?
There was a time where the word was you don't have to tip on Uber.
It was included. It was included.
Right, quote unquote.
And then it became like, now you got to tip.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I've said before about GoFundMe, because GoFundMe, primarily, I feel like it's to help people with medical costs. And I was like, yeah. You know, and people get there. A lot of the times they thankfully have so many people that are wanting to help that they are able to get a procedure, paid for surgery or whatever there is. I'm like, if you don't think on some level that is socialized healthcare, like we just created it ourselves, but it's happening.
Right. It's so sad. Okay. So let us move on to another cultural moment in our grab bag, which is that in 2020, filler procedures declined by 11%. Botox was down by 13% and breast implants by 33%. But there was a 22% increase in butt implants.
Yep.
Folks.
Why?
Are you surprised that there was an increase in butt implants in 2020?
I figured it out.
Is that because people were sitting more?
Exactly.
They want more cushion. More butt Zoom cushion.
Totally. Right, because
if I'm going to watch 12 hours of Netflix, I'm going to need to be a little more comfortable.
Right. It's like boob implants. You don't have to even put them into your screen. It's really just shoulders up. Botox, you just fiddle with that little lever in your Zoom to make yourself look better. So what do you need?
How do butt implants work? Is it like a silicone type thing?
Apparently there's a couple of different butt implant types. One of them is like fat grafting, and then another one is the silicone. But I mean, what's weird is like, I'm just surprised that I would have thought, and by the way, I feel like I've heard anecdotally, one of my mom's friends is a plastic surgeon who said that once she reopened the office, it was just like, she was overwhelmed by people wanting to do stuff to their face because all they do is see themselves on Zoom, right?
Yeah. Same thing. So I went to my dentist this week and they were like, do you want teeth whitening? And I was like, oh, should I get teeth whitening? And they're like, oh, just everybody wants that right now because they've stared at their teeth.
Right. By the way, I hide view when I'm in meetings, which I think is I'm the only one in America who does that. I hide self view. So I don't actually, that I don't fucking fixate on myself because I will just criticize my own face. There'll be an internal monologue of me doing that. But I was just shocked because unless you're doing like a nice butt flash mid meeting, like no one's really out there checking out butts. Like it happened less in 2020, but butt checking outs.
You know what, Nagin? You have a good point. Yes, you have a good point because the problem with statistics, as we know, is we know nothing about these people. We know nothing about this 22% or it was 22% up. Is that what you said? So we know nothing about them. Yeah. Are they all in butt related professions? I don't know.
Right.
Are they in
butt forward professions?
That's right. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you seen anyone you think has a butt implant or whatever?
Have you been to, I think it's called the Beverly Hills Canyon or the Beverly Canyon or something, Garden in Beverly Hills? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm always at my agent's office. I can't get what's
hard. You're right. I'm either on set and.
Well, the only reason
Unless
I know
we're
about
filming
this
there. Are we the filming there? Because then I'll go there.
know about this one garden is because it is near one of my agent's offices, which feels
nice.
So
nice. Oh,
gross.
Nice.
I know. I hate myself. I hate myself. They're
you should
really
hate yourself
lovely,
for saying one of my agents. That's what you should.
I do hate myself. No, but I'm sorry, folks. I'm in the business and I have agents. And they have offices close to this garden. So I've hung out there, like, killing time between meetings and stuff. And I had never, seen a butt implant up close. But I sat there for an hour one day, and it was a parade of gorgeous women who would turn around, and they were skinny as fuck. And then they would turn around and they would have the biggest fucking ass. And I was like, there is no human way that that's not a butt implant. It has to be a butt implant. And it was crazy because I was like, you're gorgeous. And this effect only works like when you then turn around dramatically and do the reveal. But like, I don't know, you can sort of get by on just being a hot lady. Like, you don't need the butt implant. Like, it's, you know,
I love
I don't
that
know.
People get a butt. I love that people get a butt implant and they head straight to a garden.
Okay. Right. What's next? The library? What else is on your itinerary today?
Well, there's a coffee shop at this. It's like a courtyard garden where you can see and be seen on your way to your agent's office.
Oh,
is basically
right.
what I gather
right.
from this
right.
garden.
Wow.
But I mean, but folks, anyone who's in the LA area, go to this one garden. You'll see a lot of butt implants, and let me know what you think of them. Also, did you get a butt implant? Hit me up. I'm sure you will.
And I want to know why. Can we know why? Can you, like, post why?
Yeah.
I want to know why.
Well, I think, you know, because I know people who have gotten, like, breast implants, and I've really been able to, like, get on board when they talk about it as, like, the feeling they have and the, you know, the less than feeling and all of that stuff. And I've been like, okay, I totally get it, you know? It's just butt implants are, I think, in a Zoom moment that we're having, I need a little bit more explanation on the butt implanters.
Yeah.
But I support them. You know what I mean? I support. All right, folks, that is the end of the show. What I really want is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the stuff that you do. Todd, where do they do that?
Just my name at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, verified account on TikTok. Not a lot of people do that.
Okay.
And there's a Facebook fan page, quote unquote fan page. But Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and ToddBerry.com. I have tour dates coming up, so check them out.
Tour dates coming up. This is another sign of the waning pandemic. Ophira, where do people find you?
You can find me at Ophira E on Twitter or Instagram. And I do have a website, which is my full name, OphiraEisenberg.com. I even added a few dates of my own. It was weird. I was like, oh, I used to do this.
Yeah.
Data entry.
Definitely see Ophira and Todd in action. You will not be sorry. And as for me, folks, you know that I'm doing an hour on June 8th at Caveat. Nagin Prasad presents an evening of comedy from her mouth hole. You can get tickets. The link is on my Twitter, on my Facebook, on my Instagram. It's not on my TikTok yet because I forgot, but it will be. So please get tickets to that show and check out all the COVID protocols that are in place. Make it a safe show. And I also have a new column out in the Progressive magazine about the glories of in-person shopping and in-person everything. So check out my column. And then finally, I would like to thank all of the people who make this show a possibility. That's the wonderful producer Julia Lynn and the talented sound engineer Stephanie Aguilar and all the wonderful people at HeadGum. The theme music was written by Gabby Alter. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find the show, and join the Patreon for bonus content and so much more at patreon.com/Nagin Farsad. We'll be back in your earballs with a fresh new episode next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.